From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 12. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. In this metaphor, which has reference to the inner life of a believer, we have very plainly the idea of secrecy. It is a spring shut up. Just as there were springs in the east over which an edifice was built so that none could reach them save those who knew the secret entrance, so is the heart of a believer when it is renewed by grace. There is a mysterious life within which no human skill can touch. It is a secret which no other man knoweth, nay, which the very man who is the possessor of it cannot tell to his neighbor. The text includes not only secrecy, but separation. It is not the common spring of which every passer-by may drink. It is one kept and preserved from all others. It is a fountain bearing a peculiar mark, a king's royal seal, so that all can perceive that it is not a common fountain, but a fountain owned by a proprietor and placed specially by itself alone. So is it with the spiritual life. The chosen of God were separated in the eternal decree. They were separated by God in the day of redemption, and they are separated by the possession of a life which others have not. And it is impossible for them to feel at home with the world or to delight in its pleasures. There is also the idea of sacredness. The spring shut up is preserved for the use of some special person, and such is the Christian's heart. It is a spring kept for Jesus. Every Christian should feel that he has God's seal upon him, and he should be able to say with Paul, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Another idea is prominent. It is that of security. Oh, how sure and safe is the inner life of the believer. If all the powers of earth and hell could combine against it, that immortal principle must still exist. For he who gave it pledged his life for its preservation. And who is he that shall harm you, when God is your protector?
Our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. O God, our help in ages past, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guide. Thine arm alone, and our defense is sure.
received her frame, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same, to endless years the same, O God our help in ages past, O God our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou.
Are you seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Thank you.
As he continues to deal with each of the Ten Commandments, Dr. Cairns is bringing a second message on the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. The focus here is on the duties of children. In childhood, they are to render almost unquestioning obedience to their parents. Fathers and mothers are to be careful not to command their children to do anything contrary to God's law. In adulthood, children are to treat their parents with honor and respect, remembering the wisdom that they have gained over the years. Such biblical relationships are beyond price. Now to continue this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
Almost unquestioningly, while you are young, when God says honor, he means with gratitude. Can I say that that must never be absent? Never be absent. Gratitude to the parents who brought you into the world, who have nurtured you, cared for you, provided food and shelter, and whatever their deficiencies, which may be real or imagined on your part, they have done a work for you without which you would not be here. So with gratitude, show them love and respect and obedience. Learn well from them the law of God and the gospel of God. Learn well from them the wisdom of the word of God. You remember in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, we read, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Similarly, at the beginning of the 7th chapter, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. My laws, the apple of thine eyes, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. That's what the Bible commands children to do. To honor by paying respectful, obedient, submissive attention to the teaching of those parents from the Word of God. And then continue to give due weight to their advice, even when you are an adult. I realize the Bible says when a person marries, that man leaves his father and his mother. It is a foolish father and a foolish mother that wants to hold on to grown-up children to keep them little ones for the rest of their lives. It is a wise set of parents who will learn how to lengthen, as it were, the apron strings and then finally cut them to let those young people make the decisions they must make in good conscience and in the light of the Word of God. But those young people must never forget they are still their parents' children. And they must give always the weight of honor to those parents. They must pay attention to the well-meant advice that those parents give. Sometimes it's difficult for young people who grew up to be better educated than their parents. They learn things their parents never knew. And very often with a little bit of education, they look down a long snooty nose at their less educated parents and think, well now, I know so much more than they. The truth of the matter is, all you've ever got to know is a little bit of fluff out of a textbook. You don't know much about life at all yet. The old father and mother, who maybe haven't been to school as you have been, have forgotten more in any one night's sleep than you've ever known about life. And you would do well to pay attention. Even adult children should not fail to honor their parents and then support and relieve them in their old age, something we return to a little later. Now that's the precept. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, we know that many children balk at that. Perhaps even some of you. You're kicking at it. You know the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. You know that by it, it means your respectful submission. And yet, you balk at it. Now, there are various reasons for that. Sometimes the reason is all in the child, in the young person. Sometimes it's just your own sin and your own hard-headedness and your own hard-heartedness. We also know that there are times when parents show less than the best common sense. One thing you find about common sense, the longer you live, the more you find it, is that common sense is not all that common. It's very rare, in fact. Many parents show little sense, little knowledge of their responsibility. They show little biblical wisdom or insight. Worse, at times, some parents are not at all honorable. Sometimes they're difficult to respect. And so there are problems very often on both sides, and the conflicts are there. But the precept still holds good. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's the precept. Thankfully, the Lord also gives us a perfect pattern of keeping that precept in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke's Gospel chapter 2 and verse 51, I read of the Savior that He went down with them, that is, with Mary and Joseph, and He came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Now, to be subject unto them, He had to place Himself under them. The word subject is a very simple word. It's not always a good idea to think you can get the meaning of a word simply by the parts that go to compose it, but in this case it gives us a fair insight. The word subject is made up of two Latin words. One is sub, meaning under. The other is iacheo, which means to cast or throw. And there you've got what a subject is. Someone who is cast under another, who is placed under another. The Lord Jesus became subject unto them. That means that He had to accept their instruction, receive their provision, and indeed the discipline of their home. Now that's what it means to honor. Now consider this. The Lord Jesus was truly the Son of Mary, but He was also the Son of God. And at times that involved a conflict. In the second chapter of Luke, for example, we read of Mary and Joseph and the Lord Jesus going up to the temple in Jerusalem when He was about 12 years old. They go up and the Lord Jesus there stood around and talked with the doctors of the law. Mary and Joseph, supposing that He'd been in their party, made their way in the first stage toward home, only to find He wasn't there. We know how Mary turned back and she upbraided the Lord Jesus. Gently, but nonetheless, there is grief, there is disappointment there, there is criticism there. Now think of this. His heavenly Father led the Savior to remain in the temple. He called it My Father's business. So His heavenly Father led Him to remain in the temple. His earthly mother expected Him to have followed on. She didn't take time to make sure He was there, but she expected Him to make sure He was there. And she was grieved at Him when He wasn't there. And the more she thought of her own failure to go around and check, the more she loaded the blame onto Him. We all know that parents at times can be very, very adept at doing that. That when they feel their own failure has led to a situation in the home, they then load more of the guilt and more of the blame onto the young person. Well, Mary tried that. So there was a conflict here. What the will of God was, and what the will of His parents on earth was. And yet we read following that, he was subject unto them. In other words, as far as was consonant with obedience to God, the Lord Jesus fully obeyed his earthly parents. And I tell you, that is a very good rule for us. As far as is consonant with obedience to God, we should seek to obey our parents. That's what Paul means when he says, obey your parents in the Lord. Your obedience to God is overarching. It is that which dictates your attitude to everything else. But in keeping with that obedience, he says, obey your parents and look at the example that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, when parents command that which is contrary to the law of God, children not only have no duty to obey, but they have a duty to disobey. Take, for example, and I will give you a very extreme example. It's good when you're giving an example of something so controversial as telling children there are times when they should disobey, to make it a very, very clear one. We heard our brother Paul Fitzsimons coming here from Jamaica talk about young people who had come to Christ and were doing well. And what a heartbreak it was to see young girls, 10 years old, 11 years old, growing in grace, being in the prayer meetings, being in the Sabbath services, witnessing brightly for Christ, showing an interest in the things of God, getting into the Bible. Then when they come 12 or 13, by the force of a mother's commandment, sometimes by the force of her corporal punishment, those little girls are commanded to live the life of a prostitute. If that child can disobey, should she disobey? With all her heart and soul. No parent. No parent. No man or woman on God's earth has the right to command anyone flagrantly to disobey the moral law. However, let's be honest. In the setting in which we are here, that situation does not arise. And when you young people are kicking over the traces and finding yourself at variance with your parents, it's not because your parents have commanded that which is contrary to the moral law of God, but they have commanded something that is contrary to your own selfish interest. The example of the Lord Jesus Christ is clear. You must obey as far as is consonant with obeying God. And in those cases where disobedience to parents or to any other legitimate authority is necessary to obey the Lord, we have got to recognize what we see in the Savior, that we cannot always please our parents, but we can always honor them. The Lord Jesus evidently hadn't pleased Mary when he remained in Jerusalem, but he certainly honored her. Of course, his parents were honorable people. And wise parents will always seek to be the kind of people that are worthy of respect and worthy of honor. I think that it's very foolish for parents simply to sit back on their parenthood and say, I am your parent, I command your respect. You can never simply, now God can, but you can never simply command respect. You can command obedience. You can force submission. But it is a foolish man or woman that simply sits on his or her dignity saying, I am a parent, therefore you will respect me. A wise parent will always seek to be the kind of person who engenders that loving respect, who will prove himself to be worthy of it. Such parents will remember that their authority is derived from the Lord. They will not therefore be petty tyrants imposing their own carnal will just for the sake of showing who's the boss. They will not use their authority to drive their children from the Lord.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.